When you sit with God, and for me, for years, I've sat on that park bench and I just said, Lord, the prize of my life is you. Like, it's you, it's your presence, it's your heart, it's what you're after, it's what you want me to do.
Hey everybody, it's me, Will Hart. Welcome back to another episode. This week, I am so excited to introduce you to my buddy, Ryan Horton. He's a street evangelist, worship leader, incredible voice, incredible testimony. I know you're going to love it. And as you start watching it, hit like, hit subscribe, and please, please, pretty please, leave a comment. It helps. Every little bit helps. Also, we got an online mission school training starting up April 1st. All the info's down below. Enjoy this episode. Today, I have my buddy, new buddy.
Yeah.
But dude, we've gone deep already.
Yeah.
Ryan Horton. He's a worship leader. Dude, I've been watching you for maybe like 2 years, year and a half. You came across my feed.
Yeah.
And love what you were doing. Outreach on the streets, singing, prophesying over people. And then I was just in, where was it? It was Michigan. Was it Michigan? Were we in Michigan together?
Yes, Grand Rapids.
Yeah, Grand Rapids for the Send.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went in to go speak. Yeah. No, it was the day before I was speaking. I was in there to go listen, and I saw you worshiping. I was like, man, that dude looks so familiar. Like, I've seen that dude. And it took me like at least three worship songs to figure it out. And I realized I've been watching your stuff, man. It comes across my feed. And so as soon as I saw you, man, I was like, we need to connect.
Yeah.
And we're here, man. Yes. You're here. Ryan's here.
Connection. Sorry, I hit the mic.
You're good, dude. You're here.
We made the connection.
And I'm so pumped, man. I rarely reach out to people on Instagram. I rarely do. I know they're busy. But I just freaking love your heart. Like, it's like the most amazing worship, but in an evangelistic way, with the prophetic on the streets. I've never seen anybody do what you're doing. And I just love it. So yeah, welcome in. It's good to have my buddy Ryan Horton in here today. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm so good and so honored to be here. Same type of scenario. When I saw you in Grand Rapids, I don't know, other than the Holy Spirit, it just was like, man, you've got to connect with this guy. And then it was literally after that, we kind of made that initial connection. Yeah. It's when I started seeing some of the green room clips on Instagram and things like that. But man, it really is such an honor to be here. I'm so excited to talk to you.
The honor is mine, man. Yeah. But thank you.
Yeah.
So I actually have refrained from doing any research, except from what you've told me, that you're from Orlando. You just told me, I mean, you told me you were married before, but you just told me your wife's Indian.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of your kids. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So my name's Ryan Horton, for those that don't know. And so I say Orlando area a lot of times. I'm actually from a little city called Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah.
And Lakeland has had some extreme moves of God, some beautiful things happen there. But my grandfather came to Lakeland, it's probably 75 years ago now, but he pastored a church. He founded and pastored a church for about 50 years in that city. And then he turned that church over to my dad. My dad pastored for another 25 years. And so I was born and raised in the church as a PK. And that comes with its stories and all of its stuff. But yeah, so I'd say like my real conversion story, transformation, coming to really walk with God on my own, happened early 20s with the Lord. I had just come from a pretty successful season, even in the realm of like doing music. So I wasn't putting out my own stuff at that point, but the Lord started opening a lot of doors to do like background work, background singing, and being on different worship guys, touring teams, and all this kind of stuff. And so there was a lot of moving pieces there. And I had a cognizant understanding of who God was. I love God. I feel like with my mind to a degree. But I was coming out from a meeting one night. We were at this big arena in Tennessee, and coming back to the hotel, And immediately when I closed the door, I just heard the Holy Spirit louder than I'd ever heard him before. Probably for the first time in a real way. And he just said, man, does this satisfy? Is this enough?
Hold on, time out. Were you on tour with a Christian artist?
Yeah.
Can you tell? No. Okay, it doesn't matter. No, you're good. No, so you're on tour. Were you here in Nashville?
We were actually in Knoxville.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're at an arena in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Man, I want to know who you're touring with. You were doing background vocals.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like a worship thing or like a Christian?
No, it's worship. It was a worship guy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
I just give a hint. Like
no, it's all good.
You don't need to. He played on both sides of the fence. Like he was really, his music transcended culture.
Yep.
So he met many in the African American church, mm-hmm. a lot in the Anglican church, Hispanic church.
Dude, I know exactly. Yeah. I bet I know who you're talking about.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So he was all over in that season.
Do you like being in Franklin, Tennessee?
Do I like being?
No,
here?
Never mind. I was dropping. I was being stupid.
Oh, gotcha.
Maybe. Never mind. I apologize. I don't think I know who it is.
No, you're good.
So you come back to your room and you have this moment.
Yeah.
Does the stage, the platform satisfy?
Right. Yeah. Does this thing satisfy? Because, you know, up until that point, this is kind of what I dreamed about as a young boy, you know, just like the tour bus, the big arenas, the stuff, you know. And at that point, you know, I didn't understand what the Lord wanted to do through me. I just thought it was about the talent and the gift. Mm. And so anyways, I was like, it's cool. I'd done it for a couple, you know, months at that point. I was like, honestly, Lord, internally, you already know the answer. Yeah. No, this isn't satisfying. So then he started really challenging me. Hey, I want you to go back to Lakeland, pause everything, and just get to know me. And so for the next 2 years, 2.5 years, I sat on a park bench from 9 to 5 every day. This is my early to mid 20s. Mm-hmm. Just saying, Jesus, I want to know you.
How old are you now, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so I'm about to turn 36.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not that long ago.
Not super long ago. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you sit on the bench.
Yep. Yeah.
And then what got you to being on my phone every day?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you how it happens. So I sat on the bench. God did some significant stuff in my heart, taught me a ton. I believe, you know, that was the wilderness season for me. Mm-hmm. I think there might be more wilderness seasons he calls us into later on or whatever. But that really shaped some things in me. From there, I stepped out and then started working at a lot of local churches, serving as their worship pastor and things like that, and saw God do a ton in those seasons. Then I started a worship night in Lakeland that I thought was just going to be like a one-off night. You know, basically the Lord kept pressing on my heart to do this thing. And I kept just being like, Lord, there's, you know, 3,000 churches in Lakeland and they got bigger budgets than me. Like, why do this? Everybody's doing the worship night thing, blah, blah, blah. And anyways, he wouldn't let me shake it. So we did it and he just showed up in a super special way. And so, which led us to keep praying and just seeking him. And we ended up sustaining that night by the Spirit of the Lord for like 5-6 years in Lakeland. And so I really thought that I was on the church planting track because mm-hmm. it felt like this is where it's headed.
Yeah.
We had about six.
It's in your family?
Yeah. And like it has like, we had like 600-700 people coming out, miraculous stuff happening. Wow. God was doing really special stuff. And I was also serving on Sunday mornings at a deeper fellowship with Pastor William McDowell. Pastor William is incredible. I love him so much. But anyways, was with him and he was getting ready to sort of commission me out to do the church plant thing. We're going to start different stuff and kind of go for it. Long and short of it, a couple weeks after that, COVID hit. Mm. And so we really just started praying like, okay, God, what does this season look like? Because the ministry that I had started was a para ministry. So we're just kind of meeting once a month and that whole deal. And really, the Lord didn't make it super clear for months. I mean, me and my wife were just pressing in.
How long were you married at this point?
Yeah. So I was probably married maybe 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were just kind of pressing in, Lord, what does this look like? What does this feel like? And so we started a house meeting on Sunday nights. And this is when nobody was really meeting. We'd have like 50, 60 people come over to the house, and the neighbors started going irate about it. Like the city was showing up every week. Cops were showing up every week. And we just kind of kept pressing in. But during that season, the Lord had really awakened something in my heart on activation. And I just kept pressing. I was like, Lord, like, I don't want to see the manifestations only in this confine. And up until that point, the church was the only place I was seeing it, you know? We would have these amazing moments in worship and stuff like that, and we would see God move, and we would get words of knowledge there and all this kind of stuff. And I would engage, you know, periodically waitresses and waiters, hey, going to pray for your arm, things like that. But it was on the backside of that when we kept preaching activation for probably 4 or 5 months, the Holy Spirit started visiting me pretty consistently in dreams. And he started just downloading, like, man, this is kind of how I want you to start doing things. And he started dropping this idea of me taking worship to these uncommon places. And so we started baby steps. I just started in Lakeland where there's not many people, and kind of just set up shop and went for it and recorded there for months and just started putting stuff online consistently because that was a part of what he told me to do with what we were doing. And so was faithful to do that. And then he started giving me strategy on kind of how to keep adding layers to it. So we went from Lakeland to then down to Ybor City. And I can tell you more stories about it. But essentially, that was how we kind of made it online. And then it was about, I think it was about two and a half months in, it kind of, the first video went viral. And then it just had started snowballing from there.
It's crazy, like, because, you know, we're just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
But when I got started in ministry, it was like new, the whole take it to the streets thing. It was like new. I believe, what's his name? Book came out, Treasure Hunts by Deadman. And people started getting, you know, it was like Bill was talking about the stories coming out of Reading. There was like a push in the early 2000s, right? To take it out onto the streets, take it out of the four walls. And I've seen people do different things, whether it's dream interpretation on the streets or, but a lot of it's just the prophetic healing, dream interpretation, stuff like that. I think you're the first one I've ever seen that's gone out and just worshiped. Do you know, are you one of the first guys that has done this?
I don't know definitely, but I haven't seen too many either. Like, I didn't get the model from watching somebody else yet. It's something like the Lord just put on my heart and downloaded my spirit. So I don't know. I know there's a lot of guys, which is really cool. Now there's guys like that'll hit me up from the African nations. And they're sending me clips of them standing on dirt roads, just singing as loud as they can or with like this little mic. And so then there's, I know like people in Europe are starting to catch vision for it. And there's a ton in the US that are starting to catch vision for it as well. So, but they're, you know, they're hitting me up for this thing and, you know, how would you go about it? And, you know, these type of questions, but it does seem like it was forerunning. And for me, it wasn't anything planned or, man, I got to do this. Honestly, the way I describe it is for the first time, probably in my life, I felt like I stepped into God's idea.
Wow.
So for so much of my ministerial time, it's been, you know, Lord, would you bless this thing?
Right,
you
right. know?
And now I feel like I can honestly say on this one, I stumbled into it and, you know, now I clearly see the heart of God on it for sure, for sure. And his hand, just what he's done in the last year and a half has been crazy.
So tell people your Instagram.
So my Instagram is at R Horton Worship.
And is that normally where you put out your stuff?
Yeah, that's the main kind of engine where we're putting everything.
So check it out. That's how I found out about you. And I mean, I love all of it, but the stuff that has really impacted me when I saw it, when I watched is you just going up and like prophesying over people in song. you see people get rocked.
Yeah.
Like you see people start weeping. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a lot of people come to the Lord? Like,
so salvation, we have seen trickles of that. We're seeing a lot of people, a lot of grown men that you can just tell don't have a context for the church, don't have a context for Jesus. Yeah. They're being stopped and arrested almost before they can even get past us. And they'll sit there and they'll just look at us, and before they know it, they're just sitting there, big old crocodile tears coming down their face. And then it opens up these moments to minister. I'll tell you a story real quick. So first time I'd ever went to the New York subway, didn't know the culture down there, wasn't from New York. I'm a Florida boy, you know what I'm saying? So didn't know you had to have permitting and any of this stuff. I just showed up, faith, said, God, we're going to do it. Flew me, a camera guy, and a keyboard guy out there and said, let's go, you know? So the first, like, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, it was major defeat. Everywhere we were going, we're getting shut down. You know, we were trying to go to Times Square and all these high traffic areas and just shut down after shut down. And so I said, all right, we're going into this subway station. Like, we're going to literally, before we leave our hotel, we're going to practice on how to set this stuff up so we can get it out, dog. So anyways, we get it all set up and everything. And right before we can turn the power on, this dude comes up and just starts hollering and screaming and going crazy and just getting in my face, nose to nose, big old dude, cussing me out, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. So my video guy, he's from the New York area.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, it's the subway, dog. Like, we need to get up out of here.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, I feel the Lord on it. He told us to stay. Like, we need to lean into this. So we start leaning in, and they get the stuff up. I'm like, turn everything on. And I just start declaring truth over him. There's power in the name of Jesus. And just start singing that over his life to break every chain. And this guy goes from hollering in rage to sitting on the bench, just weeping uncontrollably before the Lord. Then after that, he gets up. It was like a movie, man. He gets up and walks onto the subway, and the subway takes off, and he's just smiling as big as he can, waving at us. His name was Leroy. And so this is probably 4 or 5 months after that. We go back, and I'm flying in to New York, and I lean over to my keys guy, and I'm like, hey, man, I really feel like we're going to run into Leroy again on this trip. Yeah. I feel like the Lord's going to let us cross paths. So sure enough, the last day we're in one of the parks worshiping, and I have my eyes closed, and my video guy comes tapping me on the shoulder, just, you know, ecstatic. He's like, bro, do you recognize who this is? I look up, and it's Leroy, and his countenance are just totally different, just with, like, real joy on his face. And I begin to tell him the story again of what happened, and he's like, yeah, man, I remember all that. Like, wow. And I remember all of it, and I remember where my heart was that day and everything. And, man, he gave me this big old bear hug. I started singing the song over him again, and then I'm like, bro, don't leave, because I want to take you to lunch and get to know you.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there was more ministry that was happening in the park that day. God was moving like crazy, and we were just talking to a ton of people, prophesying over him and singing over him. And long and short of it, he's like, bro, I gotta go. Like, I'm hungry. I'm out of here. And so I'm like, dog, I'm trying to give you a meal, bro. Like, chill. So anyways, he wouldn't wait. And so I had some guys rolling with me that day. And so he left, and I was like, man, where did Leroy go? So I started putting the word out that I'm looking for him. Some of the guys that were with me followed him.
Yeah.
And so they took him to McDonald's, and they gave me a call, and they were like, listen, we're down here with Leroy. We know you're looking for him. And I'm like, dude, put that brother on the phone. So we exchanged numbers that day, and we followed up with Leroy numerous times. And I can honestly say that from the time I met Leroy to now, significant difference in the way he talks and the way he processes, trying to really get him connected to a local ministry out there, and just see the Lord do supernatural stuff in his life. But anyways, so it's things like that we're seeing. I feel like what we've been doing the last year and a half is planting seed in some area, but doing a lot of watering as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, what I'm finding, there is many in America, across America, that, you know, they have come in contact with the gospel at some point.
Right.
And so what I'm doing really is just out there reminding them of who this man is, and just doing it with the spirit of love and compassion, and it's drawing them, and they don't, honestly, they don't know what to do other than just begin to weep, because something in their soul, the curiosity in their soul, is pulling them in, you know? Yeah. And so we're getting to have beautiful and special times like that. We've seen a lot of people healed on the streets. There's one story that I would, man, I could sit and tell stories all day.
Just go for it, man. There's no, I have no agenda.
But anyways, yeah, so we were out there in the subway one particular day, and Lord started giving me word of knowledge for a lady named Mary. We started shouting Mary out with the right, you know, shoulder issue. And so anyways, she came up, the Lord touched her miraculously. There was another guy that I was, had my eyes closed one day in the subways, and I look up, and he has a wolf mask on and a netted shirt and kind of acting a little flamboyant, a little extra. And so I was like, all right, bro, something's like, about to pop off. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A little extra.
And so, yeah. extra. And so I look up, and I just start loving on him. You know, brother, man, I want you to listen to some of these songs. So I start singing just some popular church songs. This brother starts singing with me every word.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, this is wild. Like, this brother's had some encounter with the church, but it's led him, he's found himself here.
Right.
And so we just started leaning into him. I had several brothers with me that day, and we got around him and must have prayed with that guy for 30, 40 minutes, just asking the Lord to really break in. And he was super receptive, super tender, and wanted, you could tell there's a lot of curiosity there, you know? So, and then there's this other guy. I still haven't learned his name, but we went out to Union Square Park, and Union Square is real new agey. Like, there's a lot of like people selling stuff, but it's like crystals and like the psychics are out there, all this craziness. And so we started singing and going after it, and a guy got around me, started slithering like a snake around me, and started manifesting and everything. So we just get louder. We turn it up and just keep going for it. And
this is happening like on the street.
Oh, yeah, right there in the park.
And are people watching this?
I mean, everybody's seeing it.
And what are they saying?
In like, Union Square, there's probably on any given, in any given hour, I would say 3,000 to 4,000 people walking in that area. And so people are just, you know, it's New York, and so they're seeing craziness all the time. Yeah, they're seeing this craziness all the time out there. But anyways, so they're starting to do all their stuff. And anyways, this one guy's, man, probably 300 pounds, but just solid muscle.
Yeah.
Big old dude, probably 6'2", something like that, comes up, and he's in a bright red bathrobe with satanic patches all over it. And he starts coming up, getting in my face and hollering, and we're just still singing and going on and just loving on Jesus. But anyways, he gets in my face. He's like, I know who you are, and I'm going to take you out, and all this kind of stuff. And he comes and starts trying to mess with my keyboard player, just taunting us, you know, the whole time. And we're just, you know, just continuing to worship and love on Jesus and say, Lord, you're going to take care of it. And every time he has, but he's, this particular guy has met us like two or three times out there. And one particular time.
You're on his list.
I think so. I think he's highlighted. particular time we took this worship leader, which I won't say their name either, but I mean,
because you do that too. You take, yeah, we'll you, take now you're taking
like,
worship leaders
like A-list worship guy. Yeah. I mean, A-list, I don't know if that's even a thing in a worship thing, but like popular worship guys out. And so I'm like telling this person, hey, Union Square is a different bear. Sometimes it's good and we're just fine. Other times there's this craziness. And so sure enough, like that guy met us out there that day, and he started going after like this dude that was with I'm sorry, Will.
You go for it.
When I think about this story, bro,
it's fun.
This is hilarious.
Dude, it's the same as when we bring like well-known speakers come to Mozambique.
Yeah.
Like you're bringing them out into that they, in theory, know, but they've never been in it.
So anyways, and I was super honored that this person even said yes. like, because this isn't their space, but they, right. they're so hungry.
Yeah,
they want to be there, you know? And so anyways, this guy starts chasing them around and like taunting them for the next 30 minutes.
I love it. I love
30
it.
30 minutes out
What's
there.
What's he saying to him? And, did you repeat any of it?
Well, you might have to edit this, but what he was doing was like swatting at the guy's private for like...
No, come on. This is what it is to go out and minister, man. Like,
for like 30 minutes, bro. This guy.
I want to know
this guy
was.
Just kept jumping back around over and over and over. It was something else. And then this guy, the same guy in the red coat, you know, that's just manifested, he goes and he said, he had this juice in his hand, and he comes up to my keyboard guy, and he said, bro, I'm about to dump this drink all over your keys. Man. And my keyboard guy is saved, but with just a little hood in him still, you know what I'm saying?
I think I met him.
Yeah.
Good dude.
So he looks up, and he just says, bro, dump it on there, I'm going to punch you in the face. I know that ain't the heart, but this guy would not leave us alone all day.
I love it.
And so anyways, the guy, he ended up throwing the drink down on the ground and getting all raged and all this. And he was just like, bro, he was like, I'm so mad at y'all. Y'all made me waste $8 right now. And it just went to this trance, like craziness. Anyways, how did I get off on that rabbit trail?
Yeah, you were talking about bringing well-known
speakers. So then I wish the story ended there. I'm going to finish it up quick.
No, you do whatever, man.
So I tell this person, I said, hey, I ain't really seen nothing like this out here. Like, we've seen this guy before, right. but he's never acted crazy like this. And so I said, let's go down to Grand Central Station. I said, it'd be a lot more chill down there, and it's going to be a great day. So we go down there. Sure enough, me saying that, this guy gets in my face at Grand Central Station. So I pull him in, start loving on him like I do a lot of the guys in the videos.
Yeah.
And anyways, so then he starts getting weird and like takes my arm and puts it in his armpit and start trying to lick my fingers. So I like pull my arm back and I like gently push this guy.
And you're
like
worshiping the whole time.
Yeah, just still singing, going in. So I kind of push him this way, and he gets into a walking path of somebody else coming down the sidewalk. So he gets all in their face. He's like, yo, dap it up with me. What's up? Da, da, da. He's clearly on something.
Yeah.
And this guy, he said, no, I don't want to dap it up. I don't want nothing. He's a big old dude. He's like, dap it up. And, bro, next thing I know, boom, the dude just gets punched in the face, knocked out right there on the pavement. And so this is all happening right in our video. We're shooting it. And I'm like, what in the world? So, like, this person, you know, is a little nervous. So our team gets over, and we try to pick him up. Well, he gets up, and
this
he's
is the dude that was, like, licking your fingers.
Yeah. Okay. So he gets up, and he's, like, embarrassed. And so he just goes into rage and starts swinging on all of us out there right in the streets. And then, anyways, he finally goes on, and he starts trying to pick on a homeless person. The homeless person gets up and beats the brakes off this dude. And this is literally all happening within, like, a 10-minute span. When we're done with the video, that guy was getting on a stretcher, being hauled off, which was crazy. So I look at this artist, this worship person. I'm like, man, I am
like. And this is like, someone that like we would all know.
Oh, yeah. Like everybody would know. And I'm like I'm sorry, but also welcome to what we're doing. And they're like, man, this has been an amazing day for us to be able to see this.
I think this is what I like about, this is what drew me into you, right? Because at the end of the day, you're doing missions, man.
Amen.
And that's what we do. Like, I get that. We can tell all these stories of all, like, the highlight reels.
Yeah.
But I got just as many stories. Having rocks thrown at us. Being punched. Being kicked. Having guns pulled on us. Like, and I love that because I think what I see in you is, like, there is no pomp. right? There's no like, there's just no, you're doing this for yourself. Like, and unless you go out and do that on the frequent, like you really don't understand like how awful people can be.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right. Preaching the gospel. I mean, we were talking about Iris's core values before. Like part of it is like, you will encounter suffering. You will encounter this stuff.
Yeah.
The Bible says you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
It's happening globally to the, to believers. But if you go out and are public with your faith and take it into dark places, I mean, that's how I got started in ministry.
Come on.
I would just go to wherever it was darkest, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, it was, I would go to Salem, Massachusetts in the witchcraft festivals. Yeah. I would go to Barnes and Noble in the witchcraft section and stand there until people were buying books, like from the, you know, from the Satanist section in the in Barnes and Noble, and pray for them. And I'd been threatened. I'd been kicked out and hit, and you just keep going. I love that. I think that's probably what, when I saw your stuff, I was like, dude, he's out there doing it.
Yeah.
Mm. And with worship, man, is just so beautiful, because people think that that's reserved for their quiet time or for the church or for the car.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that you're just out on the streets worshiping, man. So you, I mean, you've seen some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
What, like, has there any been, has there ever been anything when you're like, man, I'm going to die? Like, have you had any guns, knives?
Yeah, so I don't know that I necessarily thought, man, I'm going to die in this moment, but I definitely thought, this is super high risk and I could die.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to, like, but I could die in this situation. So we went to Mardi Gras and we stood on Bourbon Street at the thick of, like, it was the Saturday right before Fat Tuesday, that's the culmination of the whole thing. But long and short of it, I mean, it was literally packed, Will, from wall to wall, one side of the street to the other, like with a sea of people, like you could barely move through it. It was just crazy packed. So anyways, that night was wild, but basically we were lifting up worship, doing our thing, and this guy came up to us, and initially he was fine. Like, we were talking, having a regular conversation. I didn't get any red flags. You can typically tell if somebody's on something. Yeah. He felt fine. And I was like, man, when I see that they're not intoxicated or something like that, man, I'll lean in and I'll really press on them, you know, with ministry. And so anyways, he came back like 20 minutes later. And he was walking through the crowd, and he almost tripped and fell on our keyboard. And so my keyboard guy just like gently put his hands on his back to really just brace him so he wouldn't fall. And this guy just turned into a fit of rage and started like turn around and about to swing on him, and got in his nose, you know, nose to nose, just hollering and saying all this stuff. And one of the guys that was seeing all this came over and was like, yo, like, he was defending my guy, Michael. He was like, hey, like, I see you, bro. Do you want a bullet? I'm about to put a bullet in you right now. Yeah, yeah. And so, anyways, the guy jumps back, goes running off. And these guys that said that for us came over, and they were like, man, we feel what you guys is doing is from the Lord. Mm. And so we want to stand here the rest of the night as long as y'all are here and just protect you. And so anyways, where I'm going with this is this. Later on in the night, the witches started coming, casting beads at our feet and trying to throw stuff on us, and, you know, the demonic activity that was down there, and we just kept pressing going in. And so at the end of the night, we finally get back to the Airbnb.
Yeah.
And people were telling us all night, hey, or excuse me, all day during the day, like, the area you're in is real rough. And we could see that it was rough, but I didn't, you know, people say that. I'm like, bro, we do street ministry.
We go it's
where,
rough.
Yeah. So anyways, so like it got so bad where people, the Ubers wouldn't even take us down into that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, this is the worst neighborhood in New Orleans. So we're sitting at the Airbnb and just sort of recapping the night, my camera guy, my keys guy, and kind of try to pray every time we're done, especially in high intense moments like that, and just thank the Lord and honor him. And long and short of it, we start hearing pop, 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 pop outside of the house. And man, I had never been. I'm a suburban kid, dog. Right, so right. And I'm a church kid. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't used to even hearing that noise, much less being as close as we were to it. So my guy, you know, he was like, "Bro, get on the floor now. Get on the floor." So we get on the floor, turn all the lights off, and pop, 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 pop again. And we're like, "What in the world, man?" And so that was when that thought crossed my mind. Like, man, where are we? What are we doing? I got two kids back home and a beautiful wife. Like, God, you know, what's up? And so anyways, time sort of went by and we didn't hear it for, you know, a little bit. And so we went outside and started peeking around. Okay, what's up? You know, and finally figured it out. But that was just a high intense moment. Yeah.
So talk to me about your prophetic gifting, because I've watched you and most people like to move in the prophetic, like, you know, the anointing's there, they're in a church, you have people that are ready to receive. How do you find yourself stepping into that? Like, is it an unction that you get? Does it come out of song? Like, what's your process?
Yeah.
Because I watch you flow so beautifully. And then on top of it, you make it sound good. Like, you can rhyme, you can, like, what's that process like? Yeah. Walk me through it, if you don't mind.
Well, for me, I think I'm always initially highlighted, or excuse me, I feel like the Lord initially highlights the person. Mm. And so they'll typically be a person that's been sort of lingering around what we've been doing. So I can tell that there's some curiosity to what we're doing. For me, curiosity, especially in the environment that we're in, always represents receptivity.
Yeah.
That there's some level of receptivity to what I'm doing. Because if not, nobody's holding them there. You know, they can keep on walking. Right. And so when I see that, I'll start really just kind of in my innermost start asking Holy Spirit, like, you got anything for this person, you know? And a lot of times he'll start highlighting things to me. I was in San Francisco one time and we had just gotten out there and just started singing. And long and short of it, this brother was hanging around videoing what we're doing. And so I clearly knew that there was a level of interest, curiosity to what we were doing. And the Holy Spirit started highlighting a ton of stuff about him in regards to business.
Yeah.
And so anyways,
I think I've seen this.
So we started, you know, prophesying about business to him and just declaring the goodness of God over his life about business. And, it was a special moment. Then right after that, I mean, literally the guy that ran the port walked up and was right in the middle of me prophesying, like, yeah, bro, you got to shut it down. You got to shut it down. And so the prophets out there, I want y'all to come to the streets and prophesy out there too.
Yeah.
Because we need it. Because I typically comply with what people in authority will ask us to do. But when we're in a moment that I feel like is more impactful in the spirit than it is in the natural, I tend to lean in. And so Holy Boldness just came on and said, sir, can you please let me finish? Can you please be quiet for this moment? Because the Lord has something to say. And he sat right there and he shut up and let me finish the prophecy. And the Lord met that brother in a real special way. And then that was one of the videos, we put that on Instagram. It did great. But then we put that on TikTok.
Yep.
And it just blew up on TikTok. And that message, that word, that to me has been some of the most beautiful things about this whole season is not only seeing what God's doing in real time, but what he's also doing online.
Talk to me about this. I want to hear this because a lot of people are like against it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have favor in this arena. I don't even know what your followers are on TikTok.
Yeah, so it's growing. We haven't been as consistent on TikTok as we've been on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But we're at like 70-something thousand right now on TikTok. And I know that the Lord's going to continue to breathe on that. But we put it out on TikTok. And to me, the beauty of that whole deal is just the audiences, the generational gap. Mm-hmm. I mean, millennials are definitely on the Instagram platform and get it and run it. But I'm so intrigued and also so blessed by Gen Z.
Yeah.
I'm 36 and I sound like an old man now. I sound like my dad, brother, you know, your generation. But I'm serious. Like, I'm so intrigued by Gen Z because just like every generation, man, you know, they get a lot wrong, but there's a lot of beauty in this generation.
Totally.
And the thing that I'm seeing like crazy on this generation is the spirit of innovation. These folks are innovators and pioneers. And so you put a word out about business and it goes crazy because you have a 16-year-old, 17-year-old that already has a dream in their heart about pioneering, you know? And so to be able to speak into that has really, really been special. But yeah, it's beautiful what God's doing online as well, Will. Yeah. Man, this 2 weeks ago, pastor reached out to me and said, man, I literally have pulled my gun out of my dresser drawer 3 times today, about to blow my brains out. I'm so heavily depressed, but the Lord allowed me to find these videos, and I haven't stopped watching them for 4 hours, and I felt peace and
home
again. And so it's like real stuff. Like, I remember months and months ago, a guy reached out to me, and he said, hey, he said, I don't walk with God. He said, but I perceive that you're a man of God and that you're authentic. He's like, my baby has been in the hospital since she's been born, and they're 3 months old, and he's got significant lung problems. I said, dude, I gave him my number. I said, bro, I want to call you, and I want to pray over the baby on FaceTime. We pray over the baby. 2 weeks later, he sends me a picture of her, the first time ever of them leaving the hospital and going home.
Come on.
And so we're seeing stuff like in real time. There's like, I'm not kidding you, like probably 7 to 8 people a month that reach out that says, man, I'm agnostic, or I don't even believe in God, but I can't stop watching these videos. And then it opens this door for me to start talking about, and that's the Holy Spirit, and he's drawing you. It has nothing to do with me singing, but everything to do with the Holy Spirit drawing and tugging on your heart. An individual that just reached out recently as well, and they started tagging me in videos and saying that their bucket list was to sing with me and that the doctors haven't given them much time to live, and they were putting this out from a hospital bed. And so we're still seeing how that plays out, but our team's in contact with them, and we're trying to get into that hospital room to speak life and sing over them. But it's stories like that. And that to me has softened my heart to the online world because, you know, when you start hearing these stories, you start saying, no, it's not just numbers. Like, they're people on the other ends of this thing, man. And right now, I don't even know why I'm getting so emotional about this. There's people on the other end. And God really is using media in this hour in a real special way. And for some reason, the presence of the Lord has been tangible to people as we sing and as it goes through their phones.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, man, what a beautiful privilege, number one, but also what a beautiful time to be alive.
Yeah.
That we can do something here and it ministers deeply here, but then we can put it here and then it exponentially ministers to many others here. And man, I dearly love the people that are walking with us online and pray for them consistently and ask God to break in. I mean, there's so many stories. I just had a person reach out this morning and just telling me that we prayed over them 3 or 4 months ago on a live, on an Instagram live. And this is just the real nitty gritty, right?
It.
Not the highlight reels, right? We prayed over them on an Instagram live, and they have bone marrow cancer, had bone marrow cancer. And the doctor, after we prayed several weeks after that, the doctor said that there was no trace of bone marrow cancer in their body. But then they just text me again this morning saying, man, like, I feel defeated because I just went back to the doctor and they just are telling me that it's back in my bloodstream again. And so again, it's not just, man, let me put some videos out, but it's Lord, I want to to as much as I can, to the degree that I can, I want to walk with these people as well.
Wow.
I want to walk with them. I count it a greatest privilege to come in on their devices, at their jobs, in their homes, wherever they're watching, and be a small token of hope and a small token of Jesus.
Bro, I've heard a lot of people talk about social media. That's the most beautiful conversation I've heard around it. I bet your father's just like you, right? Like he loves his people. You got the pastor. It's the pastoral in you,
amen,
man.
Amen. Yeah.
So many people look at that number as just a number. I mean, I know I do. Like, I want to see that number go up, right? But they're people.
Yeah. Amen.
And a lot of us do miss that.
Amen.
How do you maintain that? Because, I mean, what you said was like your story was.
Crying about you're fine, social
dude.
Media.
No, dude. Like that's what we need. It's not. It's real. That's your tribe. That's your church, man.
Yeah.
You should weep over them.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. Like,
and we do. Yeah.
We do. Like, those are real people, real stories. Pulling guns out of their mouth. Yeah. That's not like.
Yeah.
That's not a small thing, especially if you've been there
before.
Amen. And you know what that feels like.
Amen.
What I love about hearing your journey, man, is like you started out on tour, right? You started out with the prize, right? Like the prize of like,
you
might not have been like the main guy, but you're on your way
to
like the goal and what the church has put as the goal, what people put as the goal.
Yeah.
And you found like this place.
Yeah. Yeah,
with the poor, the sick, the needy, and the broken.
Yeah, and if I can just be transparent
in my own
heart. So most of the ministries that I led worship at were bigger churches, a couple thousand. And so to come back out, when we really started getting into the nitty-gritty and into the subways and doing this stuff, to be honest, in my heart, it felt like a demotion. Because my mind was so programmed in our Western church culture crap. And the more I kept pressing in to what I was doing, the more it was unequivocal that it was the heart of God.
Mm.
And man, Holy Spirit, I just thank you even now, like that you revealed that to my heart.
Mm.
That you made that clear, that you made that plain. But yeah, it was, it reminded of the phrase, I'm sure you've heard it, like, it takes God to love God.
Yeah.
And in that moment, it was like, it was the Holy Spirit and it was loving kindness that revealed his heart to me again. And, and so anyways, yeah, so to be able to be able to have, you know, this time where, sorry, bro.
Bro, you're
getting
good.
So emotional.
You're a musician, man.
I'm getting stirred.
That's it.
Yeah, but where was I at, Will?
You're just talking about the season and the time of coming out of the big.
Yeah,
right?
Here's
and
where
then,
it was.
Yeah, you're good.
It felt like a demotion
in
my heart, you know, initially. And then just through sitting with the Lord, in a more intimate way and like seeing his hand on it. Like, last year there was probably over $100,000 that came into the ministry completely unsolicited.
It's top.
Like, we haven't asked anybody for a dime. I don't put anywhere on my social media platforms how people can give or how people can connect to us anywhere. I never have. So much so, even when we go to the subways, people are trying to come up and give us money, and we say, no, we didn't come out to get money today. We just want to pray for people. And that's been my posture for a year and a half, and I've seen the Lord just show out. So I think through seeing him do things like that, through him doing things like he did for Leroy, and it's just clear that his hand's on it. And man, like, when you sit with God, and for me, for years, I've sat on that park bench and I just said, Lord, the prize of my life is you. Like, it's you, it's your presence, it's your heart, it's what you're after, it's what you want me to do. And so this season, I would have never chosen this in my life. I would have never left the comfort of the American church and been out here doing this, but you have led me through proving all of this stuff with your hand and showing me that you're in it. And so as long as you're in it, I'm here, bro. Like, as long as you're doing it, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I believe that he'll do it as long as our heart stays delicate like that before him, open before him. And so I'm hungry. I mean, another area, hopefully I'm not rabbit trailing, but another area that the Lord is highlighting for this year is college campuses.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of been done before, but he's just, I mean, really stirring my heart with that. We were just on the campus of UCLA last week in California, and we partnered with this ministry, and there was probably 50 students that came, and we did a worship night, and I would say most of the students stared at me with deer in a headlight.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Man,
because I get that.
Yeah,
you know what it's like when you're preaching.
I was so, on a heart level, if I'm just being completely honest, I was grieved by it. I was grieved by it that this organization, it's a mission-based organization as well, and so like it, the guys that are working full time have fundraised their salary to be there. And I really don't have an answer, if I'm just honest. I'm still asking God that question, why?
So was it hard that they, do you feel like they were staring at you like, I want to watch him do his thing, his shtick, his ministry? Or were they just not, you feel like they weren't engaging with the Lord? And I know that's a hard thing to judge, but.
Don't know it definite, but it felt that way. It felt like they had never seen anything like that before.
Okay.
And so maybe that's some of it, but it felt like that, they had just never seen any of that before. And
So it was a shock to them?
I think so, for sure. Which is crazy to me, because a lot of what I was singing was like cover songs, popular worship songs. Mm-hmm. And this is a Christian ministry, and maybe a lot of who they're bringing in are people that maybe don't know God and they're new disciples and stuff, and that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it.
So you're bold. Like, you have courage.
Well, yeah.
Like, crazy courage.
And I'll just say to anybody that asks about boldness and courage, I believe all of us can have courage and boldness. And I believe at the end of the age, it's going to be required.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that I would always say to people is boldness or courage is a muscle. And the more you use it, the more courageous you get. When I started, I didn't have nearly as much courage as I have now. But yeah, to answer your question, yes, I feel like God has given me some courage.
Are you seeing, like, on this campus, right? Because you feel like God wants to take you to campuses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. On this campus, you had these 50 believers there. Did you see the same impact as you did when you're, like, out on the streets with no believers or just you and your crew?
No.
You don't see the same impact.
I that was my first time doing it.
Okay.
So again, I'm still processing what the Lord did that night, but it didn't feel as impactful.
I just see such a parallel with the missions field. Right? Like, everything you're saying, I see it. I see it with I could parallel it just going to the lost.
Yeah.
In the bush of Mozambique or anywhere else like that.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you're going in, you're preaching the gospel, you're bringing his presence, you're inviting the Lord to come and move.
Yeah.
And it's totally different when you go in and it's already established.
Yeah.
You know? I just love what you're doing, dude.
Yeah.
You're a missionary. Like, you check off every missionary box that I know. Like, you're like every box that I would require of any of our missionaries. It's like,
yeah. So even maybe, and the Lord just maybe speaking this to my heart now, maybe what the vision that he showed me about college campuses wasn't revealed on night one. Mm. And so I think it's a greater measure of contending on my end. Yeah. That'll need to be plus being consistent in the area and just continuing to press to build, you know?
Now there's a lot of people that go on the streets and on campuses, right? Like I love apologetics. I love guys that go out there and they just go on the campuses. Yeah. I watch that stuff all the time. And they get met with a lot of opposition. Christians.
Oh, really?
Right? That are like, we're Christians and opposition. They do you ever get, do you see that the church embraces you out there? Or do you see that you ever come under, like, have you come under any,
so
like, attack from the church?
For the church, I have received nothing but love from the church. And I think that has to do with people perceiving the spirit in which we're doing it in. And so we come at people very delicate in the spirit of love. And I think music in general is an easier door to open people's heart, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of things at play there that would help us kind of receive love from the church. I think the church is a big thing, you know, we don't want you to create more stigma for us, you know? And I don't think that people feel that way about us. Right. Matter of fact, some of the largest churches in America have had me in over this last year and sewn into what we're doing generously. And radically. And so that's really blessed my heart. I'm a huge advocate for the local church. I mean, I've served in that context for the last 15 years as a worship pastor, you know? So I love the local church. There's no beef in my heart on the local church. I do believe that the Lord has called me to call folks higher, just like, you know, it's like so many others, but my heart is set and I love the local church and I'm not the guy that sees 50 million problems with the church. You know what I'm saying? I want to come in this plow and do my part, you know, and let the Lord do the rest.
Okay, Ryan. So what's next?
Yeah.
What's the Lord showing you?
Yeah.
For what's coming?
Yeah.
What's next for you, man?
You know, up until this point, we have sang somebody else's song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's next for me. God's given us songs, and he's going to have us release those songs and that music and let it infiltrate prayerfully the church and the world. And that was the uniqueness, I feel like, of what we're doing, because it would grab the attention of the church. So my audience online, even, I feel like is pretty evenly split.
Mm-hmm.
So half of it is church folks that get worship and understand all that dynamic. And then the other half is people that don't know God and that aren't walking with God, but they're intrigued about what we're doing because I'm in an environment that they're used to seeing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I've never really seen, I've seen hip hop music be evangelistic, never really seen worship music be able to pull people in like that in this context anyways. And so I'm really excited about that. I feel like that with our audience that the Lord's going to use the original songs to keep tugging on the hearts of the non-believer, but also bring people, really, that's really what it is, non-believer or believer, bringing the individual's heart to a deeper encounter with the Lord, you know. So,
you know, Scott Free,
yeah.
He sat right there, a few months ago.
Yeah.
You guys have this very similar heart as you share.
Yeah, Scott's amazing. I love Scott.
Have you been out there and done stuff with him?
I haven't, but I know Scott from another ministry in Tampa that we were connected to, and what I've seen of his stuff he puts online and our small conversations that we've had has been incredible.
So how do you pick your schedule? Like, do you just
So it's both and. So so one way we do it is the Holy Spirit will highlight a city. For instance, New York City last year was that city for me. He highlighted that city in a really clear way to my heart. And he just told me, man, I want you to get to New York as many times as you possibly can. And so we were probably in New York, man, maybe even 20 times last year. I mean, we was up there quite a bit. And then he started highlighting the city of LA, and there's some things he wanted to do out there. And so we started going after that. But then the other way we kind of go is by what I'll call like piggybacking the trip. So a church will have us in and we'll say, okay, we'll come in and do your Sunday, but could you fly us in on the Thursday? Yeah. We'll pay for our hotel Thursday and Friday, Saturday, you know, Thursday, Friday. And then you just pick up the bill from there on out.
Awesome.
So that's kind of the way we're doing it.
So are you doing anything in Nashville? Are you going down to Broadway?
Here. So I'm doing a ton of songwriting on this trip, but my heart is to go and do Nashville and Broadway. The Lord seriously has been through several people talking about Nashville. I was actually going to potentially team up with Pastor Lyle and go down and do some stuff.
Should.
But I don't think it's going to work out this time. I know that.
Wow, get your act together.
No. It's not
dude,
on Lyle.
Dude, Lyle loves you.
It's not on Lyle.
Like, he's talked to me. Really? He, like, loves you.
Yeah. I love Lyle. Yeah. But no, it's not on his end. I think also, you know, Graham with the Send, he said that there's some sound ordinance stuff on Broadway that we got to kind of get past. So
the whole thing is just loud down there.
I know. It's like, who cares?
But make sense.
Anyways, my philosophy on all that is, bro, we go, we ask for permission, or we ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah,
you
dude,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so when I come back, because I am going to come back, I probably will go down for several days. My keys guy's not with me on this trip, so he's a big, you know, thing of what we do.
When you come,
know
that you can stay here.
Cool.
And
that'd be so dope.
If you want.
Yeah.
In our
we'll
little
love
missions.
I love it.
House.
Yeah.
And dude, anything that we can do.
Amen.
I love what you're doing,
man, thank
Ryan.
You so
and
much.
Just hearing your heart today has just blessed me so much.
Mm.
Yeah. Is there any questions that I haven't asked you that you wish I asked you?
I don't necessarily think so. Okay. I mean, I'd love to talk into the presence
a little bit. About it.
Yeah, we can talk about that for a second. I just think that's really been what's happening through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Is who was it that said, I think it's John Wesley, said, you know, I just want to be set on fire. Then you send me to the desert and send people to watch me burn.
Yeah.
And I think that if we will walk that out for me, the thing that I love, like a lot of millennials and older will call what I'm doing evangelism. And I get it. It is. It gives it language, right? It's fine. It's great.
Yeah.
But Gen Z, they see it as New Testament Christianity. This is who we are. This is who we are. This is what we're about. We go anywhere and give them Jesus.
Hmm.
There's no differentiating factor there. There's no, does that make any sense?
No, it does. I'm, but talk about it a little bit more, because somebody would be like, well, it's the same one and the same, right?
Yeah.
What do you, and you
I
see
guess,
a difference there?
I guess for me, you are right. It is one and the same, for sure. I guess for me, the thing that's been encouraging is, if I'm just honest, in the church space and some circles that I've ran in, you know, I was talking to Lyle about this the other day. I feel like the Lord's called me to be a bridge. So I don't necessarily have one tribe of ministry crew that I run with. I mean, everybody and their mama recently we've been with, we've talked to, and it's been from different tribes, different ministry philosophies and different ministry stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, I think the thing that I've seen in the capital C church, this word evangelism always is the second child, so to speak, in the fivefold gifting.
Yep.
And people, they don't esteem it, they don't view it, they don't love it. And that's why most of America, if I'm just honest, isn't doing it. But I'm still seeing a lot of even millennials cross into that, like little evangelist, not necessarily saying it, but the way they look at us.
Right.
Oh, this guy does street ministry. Instead of, no, like, I'm not asking everybody to pick up a mic and go to the street, but what my end goal is that everybody would step into purpose. Mm. And I can promise you, my brothers and my sisters, purpose looks different than you just being the greeter on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, yeah.
Purpose looks different than you being the third camera tech on Sunday mornings for your local church. Are those things important? Do they matter? Should we do them? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, there's more purpose on your life, and it's going to look like living outside of the context of the four walls. And so that would be the biggest thing that I would want to convey to people is that, man, there's something in you. Mm. There's something special. There's a unique treasure that the Lord wants to use in a radical way. Step into it, and it doesn't matter if it's in the New York subway or if you're helping your kids, whatever. The list goes on and on, but step into that thing.
Do they have to go through a dying process like you
Amen.
Did?
Amen.
Because, dude... I'm a little bit older than you. I'm like five years older than you. I've been through that dying process where like I was like there and then it crumbled.
Yeah.
Do you think that dying process is important?
Oh yeah. I think we all have to go through it. We all have to have that wilderness season to where he just gets us alone and our gaze is fixated upon him.
Right.
And in that is where our mind is transformed and through just our face planted in scripture, you know, that season that I was on that bench with the Lord, I mean, that's all I did was read the word and pray, you know? And there was just tons of, you know, heart transformation because of it, because it's the promise of heaven. But yeah, I definitely think that the dying has to happen. And yeah, it's for me, it's been more about carrying the presence into these environments than being the evangelist. My heart burns for souls. I want to see people that are far from God come to this same conclusion that I've come to, that he's the best thing that you'll ever experience and he's the best person you'll ever journey with. So I definitely have that heart that burns for that, but for me, the whole thing started with Jesus. The thing that I feel like you've called me to initially, which is going after your presence and helping people see you and have encounters in your presence. That's the thing that I want to take to environments that aren't used to having it. And I think that as believers, like if the Lord will transform that heart, that will be the approach. That will be the sending.
Yeah.
The sending reality for us is God. Again, it might not be a mic on my hand on the streets, but Lord, I want to carry your presence I just want to be the fragrance. I want to be the offering, you know, before you to the hurt and dying world around
me. Come on. Bro, so I love it. Wow. Ryan, how long have you been married?
March will be 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you showed me a picture of your beautiful wife.
Yes.
And she moved from India when she was how old?
She's 12 years old.
12 years old.
Yeah.
You and I have a thing in common. We've married internationals.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book called Oops, I Married a Latina.
Yeah.
Would you write the same? No, I'm just kidding. I won't.
So you know what the funny thing is? My wife tells me she's going to write a book called I Married a White Man. Oh, no. Oh, Lord. Dude. I said, girl, that will bless so many people.
Dude, it's going to make me a millionaire. That's my book crazy. Is going to make me a millionaire.
That is crazy.
Best thing I ever did was marry another culture.
Me too.
Do your kids know, do they speak Telugu?
They don't. They don't speak the language, but her mom is still living and she is teaching every sort of cultural tradition and things of that nature, you know, to them. And they love their Indian heritage. I love it.
Bro, I love the food. I think we're eating Indian food in heaven.
Come on.
Can your wife cook? That's the question.
She can, bro. She can throw down.
I need to know your favorite. Like, what's your favorite?
My favorite Indian dish is Briani.
Ooh.
Goat Briani.
Bro, we're friends. we're best friends. I think we just became best friends.
Goat Briani, Indian spice.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? It's got to, they give you options now in the Indian restaurant in America. Do you want an Indian spice level or white boy spice level?
No. There is only Indian spice
Indian
level.
Indian spice, dog.
And dude, it's biryani.
I'm saying it wrong, bro.
Oh, man. No, so I love it.
You're still white, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why she's going to write a book about
you,
man.
Yes.
I love it, man.
Love you so much, man.
Dude, thank you for taking the time to come on out here.
Such an honor. Seriously,
no,
such an honor.
It is an honor, man. And I mean, I ask everybody to come on. I won't take anybody that's asking to be on. Mm. And when I met you, when I saw you, when I saw your stuff, you can just tell the purity. Mm, and sweet. We love missions, and I'm not putting you in that category as much as I want to.
Yeah.
But you are, like, you're going out and you're preaching the gospel and you're bringing his presence. Amen. Like, I saw a kindred spirit, man, and... Man, my prayer is that you keep it.
Praise
and that
God.
Don't let anybody buy it or
and
don't let anybody corrupt it. Man, just keep going, man. Keep doing it. And if you need anything, man, Iris is here to serve you. And if you ever want to go to any of our bases and go on out and minister, just let me know. I'll open up any nation.
Brazil.
Bro.
Let me know when.
You want to go into the garbage dump in Brazil?
Dude, I will go into the garbage dump in Brazil.
Done.
Yes.
We can make that happen.
I want to go to Brazil for real. I feel the Lord on Brazil.
Like my buddy, I've been to Brazil over like 60 times, I think, by now. Mm-hmm. My buddy, I just sent a friend of mine down there for 6 months. He had guns pulled on him twice and a grenade pulled in his car.
Come on.
Serving in the dump. So we'll send you there.
Yeah. Let's go.
It's one of my favorite places in the world.
Let's go.
Yeah. I love Brazil. I love Brazil.
Yeah.
You can go. We got places all over Brazil.
Let me know for real.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it.
Dude, you got to learn some Portuguese, though.
I need to do that and Spanish.
Yeah. But, we could talk for hours. We have a base in Greenville, Tennessee. It's another guy who's been on the podcast. His name is Abel Cadiaco. And they just put out a worship.
Come on.
Album called, it's Mountain People Worship.
Mm.
And very similar in heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. Like they go into the prisons and they go into the trailer parks and they just worship.
Mm.
And out of that came some amazing music. Mm. But they're out there doing it, man. I got so many places if you ever want to go. Okay. And if you ever need anything, you just let us know.
Amen.
How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best platform right now is still Instagram.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're just doing things grassroots. The Lord is kind of been specific with me on some things. And so the best place is on commenting on one of our videos or something like that. And we'll definitely, I've got a couple guys that are serving on the team now. We'll get back with you and go from there.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ryan, can you, I just wanted to ask you as we close, could you pray for any of those people that want to bring his presence out to where they're at? Like, I just felt like as you were sharing about his presence and going out, that God has a unique call. Could you just pray for them?
Amen.
As we close?
Yes.
Come on.
Father, we love you. Thank you so much for every listener that is listening even now. And Lord, we just pray that divinely by the Spirit of the Lord, that you would begin to drop blueprints and revelation and vision in their hearts on how they're supposed to carry it out, being a fragrant offering to you ultimately, and then to those around them, God, to the hurt and dying world, to people that are far from you. Jesus, I just pray that you would even... Use this prayer, use this segment as an act of confirmation to push so many out the boat, to push so many out the boat, God, that they would step into purpose. Even now, God, even now, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that they would step into purpose and they would become activated citizens of heaven.
Yeah.
God, that they would not be okay with American Christianity any longer, God, but they would make war on the spirit of complacency and they would step fully into what you're telling them to do, God. Lord, and I pray that it's done from a place of grace, that it wouldn't be striving, that it wouldn't be trying to make something happen. in, build something on their own. But Father, I pray that it would be done with such a beautiful journeying with you, a putting their hand in yours and allowing you to guide them. And we just say even now, oh, your leadership is so beautiful. Your leadership is so perfect. Your leadership is so amazing. We love your leadership, Jesus. We love how you lead us, and we love how you guide us. God, we cannot see the end from the beginning, but you can, Lord, and we are so overwhelmed by your leadership. Even when I look back on my life in the last 2 years, God, I see a beautiful, amazing, loving Father constantly so intricately interested in my heart and in my well-being, constantly seeing if my eyes are still locked on him, if he still has my full gaze. And God, I just pray in this moment, Jesus, that you would continue to reveal yourself even to my heart, God, as we're doing, as we're going, as we're pressing. God, that you would be the motivation to it all. Even as I'm praying, Lord, I pray that this prayer would stir somebody up, even in the realm of the secret place, even now, God, that you'd begin to call them higher in that place, that you would call them to more, that you would begin to draw them in, because I really believe that destiny and purpose is tied to it. Yes. It is tied to it, God. It is that dying to self season. It's that wilderness season that you must have all of us step into so we can be completely broken, completely dead, completely rid of self and our agenda and our desires, so that Jesus would be glorified through us, so that Jesus would be made famous through us. Lord, we bless you and we bless your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Woo! Dude, come you on. Almost got me singing.
Come on. Hallelujah, bro. Hallelujah.
Dude, thank you so much.
I love you.
Dude, you are welcome here anytime.
I love you so much.
I love you, dude.
Seriously.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so special.
You're deeper than I thought. Not that I didn't think you were.
Dang, bro.
But bro.
Dang, bro.
Bro, you got stuff. Dang, you got bro. You got an incredible heart for the Lord, man. I meet
so
a
much.
Lot of people. I do, man. I travel a lot. I meet a lot of people, man. Dude, don't change.
Amen. Amen. Will.
Yeah.
I say it to you all the time. I'm going to say it to you here as we close out. I need you in my life.
No,
bro.
You don't, dude.
Yes, I do, bro. I need you in my life.
That is.
I love you.
That
is, for real.
That's an honor, man.
Yeah,
thank
I love you.
Dude, well, I roll easy, dude. Amen. So you're now in it, whether you like it or
Amen.
Not. So
me too.
Whatever
me
you
too.
Need, man.
Love you, man.
Bless you. Hey, guys, I hope this episode blessed you. Did it bless them?
I pray.
No, dude, it did. It
I pray.
Did. Thank you for watching this episode. Like, subscribe, do all the things that his people do. His people do it better than y'all do it. So do what
that's
his people
crazy.
Do, which is
that's
subscribe
crazy.
And follow and
that's
like.
That's crazy. No.
And pass this on to someone that needs this.
Amen.
Bless you guys.
Can I go off on one more rant? And you don't even have to put this in.
Go for it.
I just need to get this out of my chest.
Yeah, get
off
it.
Off of my chest.
Get it.
I feel like one of the things, this just came to me when you asked me what's next.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things that God's called me to is to be a catalytic pioneer that would help change the worship space. And
what needs to change?
Yeah, so the industry stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like what
keep going, man. Yeah, get it.
I need to get this off my chest.
Get it.
But it's so funny. Here's why it's funny, because I know the Lord said that, but there's been many offers lately for record labels, record deals that have kind of sort of drawn my heart into a place of consideration. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily evil or bad or you're going to hell if we do that stuff, but I do think the industry has acted as a carton to carry the presence, specifically in America for, like, here's what I mean. You go to Africa, right?
Yeah.
And there's a guy over there, Nathaniel Bassey.
Okay.
Amazing, like, psalmist. God's using him in power. Like, anytime he opens his mouth, stuff's happening. And the way they're structured, Nathaniel can put something online and it just go crazy,
yeah.
Right? There's no middleman. There's no gatekeeper in Africa. And in America, the Christian industry has become the gatekeeper. It's become the carton, though, that helps it move, right? Right. And so there's a lot of corruption in the on the carton. There's a lot of execs and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. But the Lord has prophesied it through many people to me, but also resonates with my heart, that we're supposed to go in and to some degree have fellowship with the industry, but not sign or bow or have enough relationship that we can make impact.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? I think not really.
No, it does.
Sorry, everybody.
No, stop. Everybody's like, right here, dude. Right here. This makes sense. Like, because you're not the only one that said this on this podcast.
Yeah.
I get a lot of, I mean, we actually do a lot of worship people because I think Nashville, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of worship people that come through here. Do you think that the industry needs to be gotten away with?
I'm not
sure. Worship the genre as like an industry, or do you think
I'm not
it
sure
needs to be revamped?
Yeah, I think there needs to be reform.
Okay.
I think there needs to be a holiness that comes
to it. Dude, just pound your 95 theses to the wall like Luther did and bring some reformation.
Yeah.
I think you're doing it.
Yeah.
The thing about the reformation, and I was thinking about this as you were talking earlier, Luther came at a time that the printing press was just invented. The Reformation would not have happened if it wasn't combined with technology. It exploded because of the printing press.
That's crazy.
And it went out. And a lot of his points, they went out and they were able to reach people. The Bible was able to be printed. So where it had to be handwritten before. So it was right around Luther's time that the technology actually allowed it to go out to the masses. And we're at that time right now where we can do this and it can be seen by hundreds of thousands of people the next day.
Yeah.
You know, we can post a reel and it can be seen by a million people within a week. Like, we're at a time of technology where all of the old systems are going to be looked at again.
Right.
And that's a natural, natural thing.
Yeah.
So dude, I think it's an incredible time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I pray that the old system would be looked at, not just how can we make tweaks for its efficiency, but it would be looked at from the standpoint of righteousness, you know?
Yeah. Money, the love of money, right, was actually at the heart of the Reformation. Because the Catholic Church was buying and selling indulgences because they were trying to build this big monolith to the Roman Empire. So they sold indulgences, right? They were taking extra finance from the churches. And that was one of the catalysts in Luther, right? Money. Like, he saw the buying and selling of these indulgences, and that's what actually stirred him up to cry out for a shift. And Luther loved the Catholic Church. He wasn't like, I'm out.
Yeah.
He wanted to bring reformation to it. And later on caused this shift. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm just going on a rant.
No,
now.
That's really good because that's helping me.
But money, the love of money.
Yeah.
I always see it as dangerous when you're giving your life away for the sake of the gospel. Right?
Yeah.
Money, it's important. The Lord loves money, but we're not. It can never be the idol. It can never be the goal. His presence has to be. And that's what I've heard you say.
Amen.
And that's what going to the streets does.
Amen.
Right? Because you're not doing it for
money.
The love of money.
Yeah.
Not that other, and I'm not saying that everybody is, but I love the full circle, like tour bus, which was the goal, right? Arena, which was the goal to the poorest of the poor. And now God's put you in front of more than you could ever be in front of an arena on a daily basis.
Amen.
We're at a beautiful time.
Amen.
And I love seeing you pioneer the space.
Amen. So much love. So much love. That's good.
Dude, your wife's cooking me some biryani.
Come on.
Okay.
Man, love you.
Bless you, dude. Thank you.
You too.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.